All right, this past Sunday was Easter, of course, and so our theme was A Hero Arises, and over the next couple of weeks in celebration worship, we're going to talk about that. That will become our theme, and we're going to unpack that a little bit more. This coming Sunday morning, we're going to talk about a heroic download and give you some things that you can download from God's Word that kind of move you forward into living heroic lives. So we're going to support that on Wednesday evening in core. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some things that talk about that. Now, as our calendar unfolds for the next couple of weeks in celebration worship, we'll continue the hero theme. We get to the third week of the month, and that is where our masterpiece series kicks back into gear. Part two will be happening. And Ken Smith will be with us on that particular Sunday. And so that's kind of coming up, and all that will happen as midweek just kind of keeps chugging along. But through this rotation of midweek, our theme is going to be heroes in action. And we're going to talk specifically on Wednesday evenings about how this heroic lifestyle can really be your lifestyle and some real practical things that you can do to start building the momentum in your life to make this happen. Tonight, we're going to go back, and some of you guys know the way that we kind of put together celebration worship and plan out series and things like that. There's a map, and I like to think it's a real elaborate map. It's really not. It really looks like chicken scratches that you can draw on a napkin. But that's okay. There's a plan. And so tonight is one of those nights where if you can kind of zoom out and look at the big picture, we're going to actually connect dots from like the last three series tonight and kind of sweep it into this hero series that we're talking about. So really, I'm hoping that as we're talking tonight specifically, we're going to cover some real familiar territory to you. Say some things I've heard that, that sounds familiar. And if you think that's a win. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. If you go, boy, I've never heard anything like that before. You've either been absent or been asleep or not paying attention, or it's job security for me. Any of those things could be happening. But so hopefully it'll be familiar to you. We're going to be at two passages, I think, by the time it's over with. We're done tonight. Joshua chapter 14, and then Heroes in Action. Mm-hmm. And tonight specifically, we're going to start talking about making heroic choices. Okay, and in Numbers chapter 13 is where we're going to be. And as we do this, we're constantly building, and the idea is to add layer upon layer of things, information, resources for you to build and live out and add depth to your life. And so that's kind of where we're going to go. You've heard me use the phrase before that one of the things that we are always doing as people is we are always traveling through time. And I say that sometimes in celebration worship or if we're teaching something, I'll throw that phrase out a lot. And I love the idea of time travel because we are all time travelers. The moment you were born, you started traveling through time. And you took your first breath and you lived your first minute and you've been traveling through time ever since. A matter of fact, of all the things that we do on a regular basis, I don't know what you've accomplished today, but I do know this. Today you have traveled forward in time. And you have been doing it all day long. Moving from moment to moment for each of us is as natural as breathing. Another moment has just passed. Since you walked in the door tonight, a number of moments have passed. You've been breathing and you're moving. You're breathing and you're moving. You're moving forward through time. And we live one moment at a time. That's what God gives us. There's a lot of us that want more than that. We want a glimpse into the future. We want to know what's going to happen tomorrow. We want to know, what's going to happen a week from now. We want some details, and God doesn't choose to give them to us. What He gives us is this moment. And because He gives us this moment, in my life, I try to connect dots in what I know about God. And so here's what I know. And I mean, this isn't everything I know, but it might be close. God gives me this moment. He's called me to be obedient and follow Him. And He wants to use my life to impact the world. I know those things about God. Now, I don't know how He wants to use my life. I don't understand all the details of that, but I do know those things. He's given me this moment. I'm called to follow Him. And He wants to use my life to impact the world. But based on those three things I know, then all of a sudden that brings incredible value to this moment. This moment that you have right now is huge. The problem is, for a lot of us, we don't see the value of a moment. We don't see how important a moment is. We're always so busy looking for the next moment or the next day or the next big thing on your calendar that we lose the value and the impact of this moment. And as a result of that, we miss out on some things. Behavioral scientists have talked about something. We've talked about this before as well. It's called the reticular activating system. Everybody has one. It happens, you have one, it's in your life, it's working right now. It works like this. Once something has been brought to your attention, you've been prepared to see it, and so then you see it everywhere you go. Case in point, you decide tomorrow that you want to own a red Corvette. You've been thinking about a red Corvette, you want to buy a red Corvette, you want to have a red Corvette. You've always wanted a red Corvette. You buy a red Corvette. The day that you drive it off the lot, all of a sudden you start looking around and you notice, boy, there's a lot more red Corvettes on the road than I ever knew there were before. Because now you're thinking about looking for cars like yours. And so now you notice them because you have now decided that that's a part of your existence now. You're looking for it. You've trained yourself to see it. They've always been there, by the way. They've always been there. But the moment that the reticular activating system in your head kicked in, because it became important to you, you started to see them. And that's only the way it goes. It happens in other areas of life, too. It's built on this idea that you see what you prepare to see. So, if you're prepared to see gloom and doom everywhere, guess what? You're going to see gloom and doom everywhere you look. The glass will always be half empty. It will never be half full. It's always going to rain later. The weather's always going to be bad. It's always going to go wrong. It's always going to be a disaster. People are always going to fail you. You're always going to be unhappy. You're always going to be sad. You're always going to be miserable because that's what you prepared to see. If, on the other hand, you prepared to see sunshine and opportunity, then, you know, you're going to open a present on a Christmas morning and it's going to be poo. And you're going to get excited and go, man, there's a pony outside. You know, I mean, and that's that's the approach you're going to take to life. You know, I mean, that's the approach you're going to take. You've made a decision that in every situation, no matter how bad it is, there is sunshine and opportunity, and you're going to see the positive behind it. And what that means is, because that's the way our minds work, that's the way that God has wired us in His infinite wisdom, then there's something to be said for learning to look for the opportunities and believing that in each moment there is wrapped in that moment opportunities that God has for you and learning to open your eyes and see them. The difference between most people who are actively engaged in following God with a passion and those that are not, who call themselves followers, is that they've decided that God has something for them to do, there's something about them that has purpose, and there's something in this moment that God has for them. And you know what happens? They see it. And it has nothing to do with the power of positive thinking. It means that you are attuned and your spirit is attuned and the Holy Spirit has you tuned in and dialed into what God is doing in the world around you, no matter what the circumstance. And you begin to notice it. I think for us to live the heroic life that we were created to live, we've got to make a decision to start seeing and looking for the power of a moment. And make choices in every moment that God gives us that drive us forward in becoming these heroes that we were created to be. Because we have everything to live for. We have the hope and the eternity and the security of knowing who holds tomorrow. You know, the question we ask, and John just mentioned, and we know who wins. We have all of that going for us. And we are the people, we are the generation of followers who know that better than anybody in a world that's desperate for some good news, right? That's who we are. So you were called to be a hero, not on your terms, but on God's terms. And so tonight I want to kind of plow into that a little bit. We may get through all of this. If not, we'll pick it up next week. But if I were outlining this for you, I would give you an entrance ramp. Okay, it'd be an entrance ramp. Not a main point, but an entrance ramp. And I would title it this. I would title the entrance ramp, "The Power in a Moment." The Power in a Moment. You can change the future in a moment. I don't know if you thought about that. Because sometimes to us, moments seem extremely mundane. But I want you to know that for every moment that appears that seems mundane, there may be the miraculous wrapped up inside of it. You just never know. You don't know what the next conversation is going to hold. You don't know what the next insight might be. You don't know what the next truth you're going to hear might where it might come from. You don't know how it's going to apply, and all of a sudden God connects the dots. It's the moments where God takes you and you have those aha moments where you go, wow, I never thought of that before. You know, I've never seen that before. I'm here, and I don't want to be, but I have to be, and so I'm kind of doing my time. Wait a minute, whoa, what'd you, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, the light bulb goes on, and you realize, wow, this was a moment that God had for me. And I can say this with great confidence. You're here in this room, this is your moment. Now, it's not because of anything I'm going to say. I mean, God may use it, and that would be great. But this is your moment because this is the moment that the Holy Spirit has brought you here, connected you here. This is the moment you get. Now, I hope for all of you there are a lot of moments behind this one. But I don't know that. But I know that you're here right now. So this is your moment. And so you make a decision whether or not you're going to seize this moment, whether you're going to squeeze the life out of this moment, or whether you're just going to do time and wait for me to shut up so you can go home. That's your choice. That's up to you. But if you think of it this way, this is the moment that you've been given to live right now. If you ever want to know the value of a moment, and you're a note taker, write this down. Moments are an intersection between the past and the future. And when you stand in any given moment, you bring with you where you've been in the past, and your next step drives you one more step forward into the future. A moment carries the momentum of the past that's going to drive you and become the next step of your future. And so deciding that God is in every moment and deciding that He owns the moment is the difference between living a heroic life and just doing time. Because the divine potential of each moment is then determined by the choices that you make. The beauty of a God who loves us as much as He does is that He loves you enough to allow you to make choices. He doesn't force you to do something. He doesn't force you to love Him. And each moment is the opportunity for you to become something more than you were when you started. It is the bridge that you cross. And it is the bridge that you cross from the past to the future. You make choices to move forward. You make choices not to cross. But the future awaits, and you always have the opportunity to go across. And so it is a moment of truth, and moments will come and moments will go, but you've got to decide what you want to do with it. If you guys saw the movie Creed, Rocky 7, we would call it. Like 6.5, 7, whatever it is. Great line in there about Apollo Creed. If you know the legacy of Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed gets beat up, killed by Ivan Drago in one of the films. Don't want to, spoiler alert, but the films have been out now 20 years, so surely you've seen this by now, you've heard about this. But in a conversation with Rocky Balboa, Apollo Creed's son wants to know how his dad died. And, you know, as only Stallone would utter the lines, he says something about time. Time's undefeated. It gets all of us. Beats all of us in the end. We run out of it at some point because we're drawn from a limited well. Each one of us are battling time every day. And hear me carefully. Time is a tyrant because it consumes the choices that are unmade. Every time that you fail to make the God choice, you've made a choice and time gobbles it up. Every time that you try to decide to do something with your life that is not God's plan, time gobbles it up and you don't get the opportunity again. You squander your resources. You squander your moments. You squander your choices. And time immediately gobbles them up, and you just don't get them back because time is always ticking. The good news is that when you choose to move with God on the adventure that He has for you, then you're going to fulfill the purpose that God has for you in your life. And so the goal is to make choices that keep you moving and keep you living this heroic life that God has for you. Hopefully that makes sense. So let me give you some choices that you make, okay, that we all are always battling, we're always making. And if you make these choices, it changes the trajectory of your life. Now, the first one is this: uncontrollable choices. How's that? Uncontrollable choices. In Joshua 14, verses 7 through 8, this is the story of Joshua and Caleb. You're familiar with that. We did a whole series on Joshua and the children of Israel as they moved to the Promised Land. In Joshua 14, verse 7, it says this: I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to explore the land, and I brought him back a report according to my convictions. But my brothers, who went up with me, made the hearts of the people melt with fear. Remember, Caleb and Joshua were the ones that went in, and they came back with the report that said, you know, the land is flowing with milk and honey, just like God said. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. Oh, sure, there are giants over there, but we can take those giants. Let's go get them. Moses sent them in hoping for a report that would inspire the people. He got it from Caleb and Joshua, but the other 10, they didn't give such a glowing report. They said they loved the land, but it was going to be too difficult. Numbers 13:30, Caleb speaks up when the report comes in from the other 10. The crowd has now gotten a little bit angry, and they're kind of getting riled up. And Caleb does this. It's verse 30 of Numbers 13. It says, "And Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said this, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.'" The people are afraid. They've listened to the other 10. And Caleb says, no, let's go do this thing. We can do it. We can handle it. In verse 31, it says this: "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And the people chose not to go to the Promised Land." In verse 32, it says, "And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. And they said, 'The land we explored devours those that are living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size.'" And so they chose, as a group of people, not to listen to Joshua and Caleb, not to believe that God had brought them to this land to claim it. And the choice was going to cost them the next 45 years of their lives. The entire generation was going to die in the wilderness that they had been unwilling to leave. So if you're Caleb and Joshua, you might be experiencing some of the things that they experienced. Because when you take a look at your life, sometimes your life feels like it's driven by the choices of other people that are way out of your control. You ever felt that way? You ever felt like you're trying to do the right thing, you're trying to do the best thing, but other people are making such bonehead choices that those choices are out of your control, and as a result, they are ruining your life? Do you not think that Caleb and Joshua must have thought that? I mean, they're ready to go, and God basically says, okay, this entire generation is going to have to die off. And they start doing the math on it, and they don't know how long it's going to be. They just know it's going to be a long time. Well, it's going to be 45 years. Think about your life. Some of you haven't had 45 years yet. Some of you have had 45 years plus one, you don't remember them. Some of you have had enough of life to know that 45 years is a huge chunk. And so for Joshua and Caleb, they lost 45 years because other people made a choice that was different than theirs. Hear me carefully. You cannot ever control the choices of others. And although they impact you, you have to keep pushing on. In other words, you can't allow someone else's bad choices become your excuse for choosing poorly. If you want to live a heroic life, this is where faith hits the pavement on the road of life. I can't do anything about your choices. You can't do anything about my choices. But you cannot let my choices or someone else's choices cause you or be your excuse to choose poorly, because you're accountable to God for the choices that you and you alone make, and you have to make them well, and you have to make them right, and trust God to bless them. We have gotten to the point sometimes as followers where we've decided that it's everybody else's fault. We live in a world that doesn't want to take responsibility. And because everyone else chooses wrong, then we use that as our pass or our excuse not to do the right thing or the God thing. Well, everybody else is doing this, so I'm going to do it too. See, if you're raising teenagers and they do that, you look at them and go, okay, no, that doesn't fly. However, for some reason as adults, we think it does fly. And this is where we come back to starting living to live the heroic life. You've got to come to grips with the fact that there are uncontrollable choices that are happening around you. But in the midst of those choices that others are making, you still have to choose wisely and be obedient. Because at the end of the day, you're accountable to God for the choices you make. Not what everybody else is doing, but for what you're doing. And when you start making the God choices, that's where momentum starts, and that's where you start taking bold strides into becoming the hero that you were created to be. Only Joshua and Caleb were going to live to see the promised land.
They weren't promised that, were they?
No.
Joshua didn't know he would be taken on the leader. They didn't know anything.
They just made the choices in that moment that changed the trajectory of their life forever. Now, fast forward 45 years. Caleb is now 85 years old. He's 85. His friend and partner in this journey, Joshua, is now in charge, and he's dividing up the land. And this is where we come up with the second type of choice you make. Not only do we have to deal with uncontrollable choices, but now we have to make personal choices. Joshua's dividing up the land, and Caleb steps up in Joshua chapter 14, verses 8 and 9, and says this, "I, however, followed the Lord my God wholeheartedly, so on that day Moses swore to me, 'The land on which your feet have walked will be your inheritance and that of your children forever, because you followed the Lord God wholeheartedly.'" Caleb made a choice, and he had no idea how God was going to bless it. He had no idea how God was going to flesh all this out. But he made a choice to trust God, and it's a personal choice that set him apart. It was a choice that he took responsibility for. It was a choice that he made because it was the right thing to do when everyone else around him was making the wrong choice. Personal choices over and over again build momentum in your life, and they take you forward to becoming the hero that God wants you to be. Looking at the clock. Let me give you a third type of choice, okay? You also make directional choices. This is Caleb again in Joshua 14, verse 11 and 12. "I'm still as strong today as the day Moses sent me out. I'm just as vigorous to go out to battle now as I was then. Now give me this hill country that the Lord promised me on that day. You have heard yourself that the Anakites were there, and their cities were large and fortified. But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." The key point of this is in verse 12. "But the Lord helping me, I will drive them out just as he said." The directional choice is a choice to do the things that God has purposed you to do. Not just to trust, but to put that trust into action and get busy doing the things that he was told to. Caleb made a choice. Not only am I going to take the land, I'm going to do it because God said to, I'm going to go fight for it at age 85. It would have been easier to let the kids go. So here's Joshua after all these years. They've waited 45 years for this moment. And Caleb steps up and says, you know what? I've been faithful. I made the right choices. God said that this was going to be my inheritance. I know that there's some big bad folks there, but God's going to help me. I will drive them out of the land. Caleb at age 85 has made a directional choice with his life. He's going to go to war. He loves God enough, he's faithful enough, he's going to go to war. You know people, and I know them. They love God, they trust Jesus, but they're slow to put their relationship into motion. They're slow to take God at his word. They're slow to start being obedient. In a lot of ways, we get satisfied with the provision that God gives us every day. Children of Israel wandered around. God led them. They had manna. They were good. When Moses said it was time to move, they'd pack it all up and they'd move again. A million plus of them. They'd just camp out again until it was time to move. And they'd go again. That was their existence. Here's Caleb saying, okay, those days are done. God provided. That was great. I'm sick of that. I want to go fight. I want to go fight for what is ours. We've been waiting 45 years for this moment. Let's get on with it. He was surrounded by people who were going nowhere. But he stayed faithful even when everyone else didn't. And that's huge. And so in your life, there are some choices that are beyond your control. And when the whole world seems to be making uncontrollable choices, you still have to make the choice to be obedient. And not let others' choices tank your life. Is it easy? No. Do we want to do that sometimes? Yes. That's when it's easiest to quit, because we can blame other people, but you can't. You have to be faithful. The personal choices that you make are the ones that keep you going forward and keep you in position to stay close to God and grow and know His plan for your life. And then the directional choices are the choices that you are making to go. And we talk about it. I mean, direction, not intention, gets you to your destination. Where is it that you want to go? You want to be the person that God wants you to be? What are you doing to get there? And as often as we talk about it, we talk about it a lot in this environment, but as often as we talk about it, you know and I know as well as I do that there's still some folks that, you know what, they're just going through the motions. If you were to ask them, well, what is the plan? What kind of spiritual roadmap have you drawn? Where do you think you're trying to go? What area of your life are you trying to grow and get better at? I'm just doing time. And at the end of the day, there's no excuse for that, but it's robbing you of the life that you were supposed to have. Don't let it. Make heroic choices and get moving. Caleb becomes a great poster child for this, because he kept making good choices when he was living with a generation of people that just weren't making them. Was it tough? You know it was tough. Did he get frustrated? I would imagine he did. Were there days that he thought, you know, I'm kind of down and I want to quit? Sure there were. But on those days, he made a choice to stay faithful. And he made a choice of what was going to be most important. And he made a choice of what he was going to model. And he made a choice that he was going to live his life in front of people in such a way that they were going to catch a glimpse of God. I'm going to tell you a story and we'll get out of here. You've heard me tell the story before if you've been around me a lot. I like the story, but it fits. The woman tells the volunteer, she keeps repeating it over and over again, "We've been back to this shelter at least 5 times, and it's been weeks now since we started all this." And she just keeps repeating herself. The volunteer says, "Well, what is it that she keeps asking for?" And the mom says, "She keeps asking for puppy size." "Well, we have plenty of puppies. What size puppy is she looking for?" "I know," the mom says. I know. "We've seen most of them on a number of occasions." And so they sat and they talked for a moment. A few minutes, the young child came walking back in the office, and the mom said, "Well, did you find one?" "Nope, not this time," the little girl said with sadness in her voice. "Can we come back next weekend?" The two women looked at each other and said, "Oh, we'll see." And so they kind of shook their head and they laughed a little bit, because they've been repeating this now for a number of weeks. And the lady behind the counter says, "Well, you know, you never know when we're going to get more dogs. Unfortunately, there's always a supply. So come back and see us next weekend." And so the young child took her mom by the hand and they headed to the door. And the little girl, knowing her mom was frustrated, says, "Don't worry, Mom. I bet we find one this next weekend." And so over the next few days, they were talking about this dog, and mom and dad both got involved in the conversations, and they both felt like she was being too particular, you know, and they were trying to get her to, you know, just pick a dog and be done with it. Dad finally said, "You know what, if you don't find one this next weekend, we're not going to look anymore. Because, you know, we've got better things to do than every weekend to just go down and go to the shelter and look for a dog." And her mom was trying to help, too, and says, "And we don't want to hear anything else about puppy size. Puppy sizes, it's not working for us." And so Let's not just find a dog. And so sure enough, the next Saturday morning they come. They're the first ones at the shelter. By now, the young child knows her way around the shelter. She's been doing this for weeks. So she ran right for the section that she always went to, the section where they had the smaller dogs. Again, mom had gotten to the point where she was kind of tired of the routine, so she just waited out in the waiting room again and let her daughter just go look. And so there was an observation window so that she could look through and see her daughter interact with the animals. And that was, you know, just something that they had now gotten into the habit of. And so the young girl walked from cage to cage. And as she looked at each dog, she asked if it could be brought out, and they would bring the dog out to her, and she would hold the dog, and then she would say, "Sorry, you're not the one," and hand the dog back, and the volunteer would put it back in the cage. It was the last cage on the last day of this weekend search of what her dad said was going to be the last weekend, and the volunteer handed her the dog. And so her mom was watching through the window as the little girl held this little dog, and this time she held the dog a little bit longer, which got mom's attention. And so mom started watching. And the little girl came running out into the lobby holding the dog, saying, "Mom, I found it. I found the right puppy. He's the one. I just know it." And instantly, all the volunteers were now involved in this because this girl had been there and she was the most picky shopper. And so she's like, "Are you sure? How do you know? How do you know?" And she says, "It's the puppy size. Yes, it's the same size as all the other puppies you've held the last few weeks." And mom said, "No, not size, Mom. Size. When I held the puppy in my arms, he sighed." And the mom said, "So?" She said, "Don't you remember when I asked you one day what love really is? You told me love depends upon the size of your heart. And the more you love, the bigger your size." And the mom looked at the volunteer, and the volunteer looked at her, and they didn't know whether to laugh or cry. And she said, "Mom, every time you hold me, I sigh. When you squeeze and hug me, I sigh. And I knew that I would find the right puppy when I held that puppy in my arms and gave him a squeeze, and he sighed. This puppy sighed. It's a puppy size. Mom, he loves me. I heard the sighs of his heart." I want you to close your eyes for a moment and think about the love that makes you sigh. Hear me carefully. When you choose to do the right thing and the God thing, if you listen carefully, you hear the sigh of God. Because he loves you and he wants you desperately to get it right. Let's pray. God, we need to be heroes. There is a life that is waiting for us that is bigger than anything we've ever dreamed of. But we have choices to make. And so God, I pray that this would be the first night of a number of nights where we are challenged by the choices that we make and how we make them so that we might become the people you created us to be. And that we would live heroic lives in a world that desperately needs heroes, now more than ever. Help us to remember what you did for us and allow that to change us from the inside out so that we might be heroic. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.